This is Pastor David from International Baptist Church. Let me ask you a question. How much time do you spend worrying about things? Worry and fear are just common experiences we have in life, but they can easily get out of hand, especially right now during this coronavirus concern. Many people have been governed, and their hearts are governed, and their minds are consumed by the fear of what could happen. Well, I want to talk to you what the Bible says about fear, what the Bible says about worry, and how we can live free from worry. In fact, worry not only makes us sad, but also worry keeps us from having helpful solutions to the problems at hand. Let me tell you a story about a man, though, that you've probably heard of. But when he was a little boy, he was scared one night, and he called out for his mother. And his mother came, and she pulled up the covers to his head and said, "I'm here, dear. No reason to be afraid." And she tucked him in and said, though, to him, she said, "But when you grow up to be a man, I won't always be around, and you need to learn to let the Heavenly Father put His arms around you." Well, that boy did become a man and grew up and went into business. And then also he was came face to face with fears. He had an event in his life happen where his partners in business died. One died, then the other died. And he himself was concerned about all the issues of running the business, plus his own death. And he became very heavily weighed down with the concerns of life. Well, he became victorious over that through his faith in Christ. In fact, that man is known as G.K. Chesterton, and he was an incredible pastor, preacher, as well as an author, and just an incredible influence for God in this world. He said if he only had one sermon to preach, he would preach on fear. God assures us in many places in His Word that we do not need to be afraid. Let me just read from Philippians what the Apostle Paul wrote. He said in Chapter 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." So let me ask you, are you experiencing the God of peace right now in your life? Well, the Apostle Paul gives us five specific things we can do in order to experience this peace. Let's just point these out one by one. The first is he speaks about faith. He speaks about beginning with faith. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And that's really an expression of faith. You may say that's enthusiastic faith. That is confidence in God that erupts in joy, where we know for certain that God is real and God will be faithful to all His promises. He says, "Rejoice always," and I say it again, rejoice. Imagine in the midst of a financial crisis, if everybody is losing their money, but you know that you have millions and millions and millions of euros or dollars or whatever currency you want to think about in the bank, you wouldn't be worried. In fact, you would say, "This is great because I'm protected." Your heart may bleed for the others that are in need, but you know that you are protected. Well, this is the type of joy he's describing, that no matter what happens, we can be completely confident that God is there. And we must begin with that understanding of who God is. It just simply means that we made up our mind to believe that God is who He says He is. And once we have taken out all other options and put our faith in Him, then we have His peace. Well, we begin with faith, but he mentions other things as well. He says, first of all, don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious is the way modern translations say. It doesn't mean that you don't take care of business. Jesus spoke about farmers and the lilies of the field. Well, farmers have to plant. They have to plan ahead, and we have to plan our schedules. But we don't plan them from a position of worry or anxiety. Rather, we do it simply with confidence in God. That word in the original really means to have so many details, being overwhelmed by so many details that we can't see the main thing. We are not God. But God will be faithful, and we do not need to be consumed with all the details. We need to go about doing what He calls us to do, what we're responsible to do, but we do not need to be consumed about those things or by those things that are far beyond us. We can trust God and just live one day at a time. The third thing he says is pray about everything. Bring requests to God. Trust him. Don't try to worry about things you can do nothing about, but bring your requests to him. Bring them in faith. Bring them from your heart. Pour out your heart to God. Talk to him about all those things that trouble you. And do it with petition, asking him as best you know how for what you want from him, but also with thanksgiving, grateful for his faith to you. Present your request to God and then expect that he's going to do something. It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we pray to God, we leave that request at his feet, and we leave it there, and we trust him and let him speak to our hearts that he is our Heavenly Father. He has that matter taken care of. We have brought it to him, and we trust him. Now, I have to admit, this is something that we have trouble with, trying to get a balance in our life. I've talked to many people that they read something like this, and rather than seeing this issue of prayer and bringing your request to God, they interpret it as though you just do nothing. They said either you're going to be consumed with worry, or you just wash your hands and say, que sera, sera, what will be, and I have nothing to do with it. That's really not what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying that we take those things in our hearts and we bring them to God. And we bring them like a child bringing it to his father, and we trust him to take care of it. We believe in him. We have the comfort of knowing that he has heard our requests, and we leave it there. We leave it there with him. There's something we do, but it's the matter of taking it to him and bringing it to his attention. Any time something else comes up, bring it to him again. In fact, this whole attitude of prayer is talking about an ongoing activity. It's not that we have something worry us and we ask God to take care of it, then we don't think about it anymore. More often than not, those things that worry us keep on worrying us. They keep coming back again and again. But every time it comes back, we take our request to God. And it's a constant conversation with him, bringing these requests to him. Just because we prayed one day doesn't mean the next day we won't be worried again. And it doesn't mean our faith has failed. It just means that we need to take it to him on the next day as well. Bring it to him every day, every time it comes up in your mind, and trust him and leave those things with him. Sometimes we see a concern in a new light. We see something maybe we're supposed to do, he's calling us to do. Or maybe we see, have a new insight into it. But we bring those requests to him, and he hears us. And that's what our relationship with God is to be, a constant going to him and praying to him and bringing those things to him and believing that he hears us. And then if it's not a burden on our heart, then we know he has freed us from the worry. But we still must pray also responsibly. Some of those things that concern us are the salvation of our loved ones or the behavior of our children. And those are things we have an obligation to be concerned about. So we bring those requests to God also, not in a sense of worry, but we bring in the sense of, Lord, this is a responsibility I have, and I cannot do this by myself. I need you to help me. So we bring them to him, asking him to take that burden, to show us what we're to do, to give us wisdom, to empower us and strengthen us. But all these ways of praying and talking to him, what happens is he guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And we have this peace that describes the peace that passes all understanding. Well, those are the first three things. Is first of all, believe God. Secondly, don't worry. And thirdly, pray. The fourth thing, though, is to have an adjustment in our minds, to start thinking right also. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Often we pray to God, and then we go right back into a world that is full of worry, full of ungodly values, sometimes just impure motives. The typical television show that you see today is going to talk about revenge and anger. And boy, anytime we talk about revenge, we're always blind to our own need, our own weaknesses, and also we're not thinking in terms of God's redemption. But this is what the message of the world is today. There's a lot of anger, a lot of negativity, just a lot of unforgiveness, especially in the political world today. But that's not what we're to dwell on. Rather, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This means we need to concentrate on the things of God and really focus on these things. And we need to let Him expand our imaginations. Fill your mind with good things. Read good Christian biographies of great men and women. Read the Bible. Read encouraging books. Listen to uplifting music. And you'll be amazed at how much that will comfort your soul. And then the fifth thing is this. Find good examples. Paul writes, he says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And that wasn't a position of arrogance on his part, because he knew he was weak. He knew he was just a man. In fact, he said he was chief of sinners. And he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. But he also knew that in that place, in that day, in that age, they did not have many Christian examples. He was a missionary and apostle. He was starting work. So the people he was writing to, they were new believers. They did not have a lot of examples to follow. So he said, look at me. If you don't know where else to look, you can't see Christ yet, you look at me and I'll try to do the right thing as Christ enables me. Well, that tells us we ought to be the right examples in our life as well. But we need to pick good people to be with, good people to follow, good people to hang around with. We need that. We need to be encouraged. And then he says, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, there's a slight difference. Earlier, he says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But then at the end, he says, the God of peace will be with you. Well, there is a difference. The peace of God is an attribute of God, something that he gives. But God does not only give us peace, God also gives us himself. So the ultimate promise is that God will be with us. God will be with us. Well, there's all kinds of things we can think about or worry about, but we need to pray about them, fill our minds with the positive things of God, and then we'll be able to be God's instrument to help solve problems, because we won't be obsessed by the challenging and the negative, but we'll simply trust God and be able to let Him guide us into proper solutions, or how we can support someone who is going to bring the right solutions. Now, let me mention one other thing, because I think it's important. Jesus spoke about worry also in the Sermon on the Mount, and he was speaking to people that were consumed with worry about just their basic needs. That's why he taught them to pray, and us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, just to have the basic needs that we have for life. But he said this to them. He said, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Heavenly Father knows you need these things. So we should rest in him, and knowing that he not only will supply us with himself, but he'll also supply us with our needs. And then he says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We're to be seeking God all the time. But on the very heels of that statement, Jesus said something else. We have in our Bibles chapter and verse divisions, but originally they were not there. The chapters and verses and the subtitles and all these things were added later to help us find these passages. But originally, the verses just ran from one to another. So he finishes this statement in the end of verse 34 in chapter 6. He says, each day has enough trouble of its own. But then the very next thing out of his mouth was this, do not judge or you too will be judged. We may think, oh, that's a different topic. Not really. I believe the two are connected. Because he says, you know, if you're looking for the peace of God, if you're looking to be free of worry and anxiety and fear, seek me. But once you've sought me, once you've found me, once I've found you and I've given you this peace, be aware that others may not be there yet. Don't judge them. rather be compassionate to them. You realize if you had just gained peace and you say, well, I prayed about this, and maybe just 15 minutes earlier you were upset with worry, but you go to the Lord, you go to your prayer closet and you pray, and you pray, and you feel that God has released you from this, God has freed you and given you His peace. And then you turn to someone, maybe a friend or a colleague or maybe a family member, and they express something of worry. Don't be quick to judge them. Say, you don't need to worry about that. Well, encourage them, but don't judge them, because you remember just 15 minutes earlier, you were worried about the same thing. So Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, and don't judge others. Encourage others, lift one another up, and let's all understand what it means to follow the Lord together. I pray that God will bless you. We have some learning material in this as well, some discussion you can use, and also a family devotional we're sending with this video. But I pray that God will bless you. We're having to make these videos right now because of the SARS epidemic, and excuse me, not the SARS epidemic, but the coronavirus, the COVID-19 concerns. It's pandemic right now in the world. And so we're not meeting as a church, and I do hope you stay infection-free, that you wash your hands, you use good personal hygiene, cover your mouth, and you sneeze and cough. If you have a fever, by all means, isolate yourself and do not infect others. But we do pray for this nation and for this world, that this virus will not spread. And I pray for you also, especially in our church, that you would be safe. If we can help you in any way, please don't hesitate to call. Let me have a prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace and your love. We thank you for the way you are so patient with us. And Lord, we pray that you'd bless our families, bless our marriages, bless our homes, bless our individuals who live by themselves, Lord. We pray that you'd bless the entire church with peace, with joy, with safety, with health, but also, Lord, with a sense of mission, that we realize who you've called us to be, and we are committed to you, to follow you. So I pray that you bless us all this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.